Welcome to this edition of Thy Kingdom Come. Today I want to speak with you concerning getting to know Christ. In a nutshell, I want to take some time and explain to you the process of giving your life to Christ. I think that there is a terrible tragedy happening worldwide today. I believe that millions of people are being deceived. Hundreds of thousands of Americans are living their lives under false pretense. And who's to blame? Is it not the religious leaders of our time? The religious leaders have perpetuated this premise whereby those who are lost have the belief that they can come to Christ in a matter of minutes and their salvation will be secure. That they can, on a whim, on an emotional height, come and say that they have accepted Jesus the Christ, the only begotten of God the Father, the Messiah, our salvation, our hope, the bread of heaven, the living water, the true vine, the good shepherd. He is the door. He's the way, the truth, and the light. And people believe that they can come to him in a matter of minutes, and he will live inside of them and become their God. All because some preacher, some Christian, high on himself and ignorant of the gospel of Jesus the Christ, or some so-called believer, some bootleg pastor who's made himself a church and who has elected himself or has been elected by those who are like-minded, those who are also lost. And he's told people that according to Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died on the cross to take away your sins, then you shall be saved. Is that what you heard? Is that what you believe? Is that the basis for your so-called relationship with God? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Is this some kind of joke? I must say that it is not funny at all. God is holy. And when we speak of his holiness, we're talking about his separateness, his oneness, his existing in a league or a category of his own. God has nothing by which or to which he can be compared. He is that he is. Do you understand that? Do you really grasp the weight of that? When God spoke to Moses and gave Moses the commandments to go down to Pharaoh, tell Pharaoh to let my people go, Moses said, Lord, I am willing, and I'm paraphrasing, but tell me, because they will want to know who sent me. And when they ask me this, God, whom shall I tell them you are? Do you remember God's response? God said, I am that I am. What he was telling Moses in a nutshell was, Moses, if I made an attempt to tell you who I am, if I even made an attempt to describe my nature to you, it will so much supersede anything that you have come to know in your life. The totality of human knowledge and existence cannot calculate or compute. You can't even begin to understand who I am. And so, Moses, since there is nothing in this earth, since there is nothing in heaven, since there's nothing underneath the earth to which I can be compared, I have to tell you, Moses, that I am, that I am. God is holy. He is so holy that he searched the world, the heavens and the earth, and everything in hell and underneath the earth. He searched high and low, deep and wide, for something by which that he could swear and make covenant to the children of Israel. And he came to the conclusion that there is nothing higher than myself. And so what I'll do, I'll swear by myself, because I am the highest being in existence. And you mean to tell me that in 5 minutes you have built a relationship with him? You have come to some sort of understanding of who he is, and you're fully conscious of the decision to allow him to rest, rule, and abide in your heart. Child of God, don't you dare make that assumption. If you've been to a revival and you've been to some old tent meeting, you've been to some worship service, and some pastor offers you an invitation to get to know God, and then he takes you through what has been deemed the sinner's prayer, and after which he proclaims that you are saved, you better run. And you'd better run far and fast, because that man or that woman is lost. They don't know God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all of humanity, the God to whom belongs the heavens and the earth, according to Psalms 24, the God who spoke into the abyss of nothing and created everything that is seen and unseen. This God who parted the Red Sea and created a highway for the children of Israel to walk to their deliverance. This God who caused the walls of Jericho to tumble at the feet of Joshua because he obeyed God's command. This God who became flesh and dwelt among us. You mean to tell me that by hearing one Sunday sermon, you've resolved within yourself that you know enough about him to say that he is your God? That he has taken residence in you? That he lives in your heart? Don't be mistaken. God is not that easy. And if you be honest with yourself, if you really take into consideration the level of disrespect that you are offering towards Him. You'd be driven to your knees in repentance. You'd beg His forgiveness. Have you ever been on a date? If you're married, then you understand fully what I'm about to say. Did you meet your wife through a mutual friend? Was all of your knowledge based solely on what your friend told you about your wife? And based on what this friend has told you about your wife or your husband, you made the decision that you wanted to marry them. You wanted to spend the rest of your life with them. You never met them, never been in their presence, don't know what kind of person they are, don't know their nature and their habits, their tendencies, but based solely off of what your friend has revealed to you about that person, now you're certain, with no shadow of doubt, that you want to wed this person and live the rest of your life with them. That never happens. So how is it that you believe that because you heard a sermon about God, that now you want Him to live inside of you? You want to become the bride of Christ and live the rest of your life for Him. It doesn't work that way. If you want to know Him, it is possible. So don't be discouraged. Maybe I've used a bit of hyperbole here today. Maybe I've exaggerated my point, but it was necessary. Because every time I see someone who runs to the altar under the pretense of thinking that if I go up here and I repeat these vain words with this vain individual, I will know God. Every time I see it, every time I hear of it, every time a pastor comes to me and say, "Oh, service was marvelous Sunday. 10 souls came to Christ. We had 10 people who were lost and now they're saved. Praise God." No, God, no. You haven't saved their souls. You don't have the capacity to save their souls. All you can do, oh foolish man or foolish woman, is lead them to Christ. And then it is the work of the Spirit to convict them and bring them to repentance. You and yourself could not even save yourself. How did you get 10 people saved? If it wasn't for the mercies of God and His grace towards you, you would still be lost. Have you so soon forgotten? People, wake up. Stop playing church. If you want to know Christ, I can tell you about Him until I am blue in the face, and you will still have no more knowledge about Him than you had before I begin my rambling crusade. You need to call God. Cry out to Him from the emptiness inside of you. You are a sinner. You are lost. You are damned to hell unless you come to Christ and yield yourself and ask Him to have mercy on your soul and forgive you for your wickedness. God will answer your prayer. He will hear you when you cry out to Him, and He will forgive. But conversion is the work of the Spirit of God. I can't convert you. No pastor can convert you. Your mother, as spiritual as she may be, can't convert you. It is only by the Spirit of God, through faith, that you can be converted. I hope you've enjoyed this message today. As always, I pray that thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And remember, be ready, for the King and His kingdom are at hand.